There we go. Alcoholic and currently serving as Panel 71 Delegate for Area 83 Eastern Ontario International. And thank you everyone for being here on our fourth session of these sessions on the Comprehensive Media Plan. And I want to let you know that tonight's topic will be apps, websites, and content creation. I want to extend a special welcome to our three panelists that I believe have joined us tonight, Tracy, Beau, and Josh. Hopefully Josh is coming in. Great. I look forward to hearing what you have to share with us this evening, as I'm sure many of our participants do as well. Before I turn this meeting over to our facilitator for this evening, there are just a couple of housekeeping matters. This session is being interpreted in English and French. Please locate the interpretation button, likely at the bottom of your screen, and select your language of choice. We are saving audio recordings only in both French and English. Links to these audio recordings will be emailed to registrants in the next few days. Closed captioning has also been enabled. If you experience any technical difficulties, please send a chat to one of our Zoom techs. And if you have any questions for our panelists during the session, please send them to our chat monitor. We have an English chat monitor and a chat monitor for French. So please send questions to them rather than directly to the panelists. Alcoholics Anonymous is founded on carrying our message. Historically, this was done from one alcoholic to another, and then through our literature. As AA evolved, so has the way we carry our message. We now have treatment centers, pamphlets, websites, commercials, newspapers, and of course, many different things on Grapevine. Most recently, we've added social media, YouTube, podcasts, and the Meeting Guide app. As the world and the ways we communicate change, how is AA changing to carry our message most effectively? How are we ensuring the message being carried is that of AA? A joint effort from the General Service Board, the General Service Office, and Grapevine, the Comprehensive Media Plan looks to answer these questions. How do we best carry the message in the spaces we occupy? How do we evaluate the message? How do we grow? What spaces are we in and where should we be to make sure that when anyone anywhere reaches out for help, the hand of AA will be there? I'm now going to turn the session over to our facilitator for this evening, Tim. Please welcome Tim.
Thank you, Kimberly, and welcome everyone. I hope that this is a lively conversation about websites and apps, and we're going to start the evening. I am I'll follow up just a little bit. I am from the Bay Area in San Francisco, and in 2020, I was one of the leads that helped start the National PICPC working group, and we started that group just to do exactly what we're doing on here, is share some information with everybody and help everybody better find ways to reach out to the public. So I'm excited about a website night because we've been talking a lot about that in our groups, and there's a great deal going on at a GSO office and at AA World Service around the website. So I'm going to invite each of our three panelists to introduce themselves and give us a brief explanation of their roles with Alcoholics Anonymous and their involvement in developing the Comprehensive Media Plan. Each panelist is going to speak for about 5 to 8 minutes. And as an overview of their particular expertise and their responsibility in the implementation of the media plan, panelists were given a list of questions in advance of this evening sessions. Their remarks will address the bulk of those questions. But while the panelists are speaking, if you have anything that comes up that you would like to ask questions about, please submit your questions in chat chat folks, and they'll get those questions to us, and hopefully we can get all the questions answered tonight. So we're going to get this thing rolling because you didn't come here to listen to me. Whichever one of the panelists would like to start first, you're welcome to take the lead, Beau or Tracy, whichever one.
Maybe I should go first because that way Tracy can kind of clean up and correct anything after I've gone. Sometimes I can leave a lot of room for that. So I'll go first. Tracy, unless you wanted to kick it off, I'm happy to defer, but try to help you clean up any messes I make along the way. So thank you. So first of all, My name is Bo. I am an alcoholic. I served on 8-year old services from 2014 until to just the last conference, 2022. So I am a rotated past trustee. I was on AA World Services when we were first talking about an app at all and what to do, and when we started thinking about bringing this meeting guide app on board. And so I can share hopefully a little bit of perspective on that piece as well, in terms of where it's going. I'll probably serve a little bit better on that side, where Tracy would probably really be able to speak to how do we do what we do now, or what's going on now, or what are some numbers today? And I can speak to a little bit about what we were at least initially thinking. And I did, I went through some of those questions and I love those. I have a few thoughts, you know, and the first, it really almost as on a perspective, and maybe I've had a little bit of chance to have some perspective. I've only been rotated for a few months now, but it's already, things have slowed down enough for that. And especially on this topic, I find, for the most part, everybody feels a little frustrated. And I used to be, maybe I'm less frustrated now. And because I see it, you know, it's, Bill would always talk about how great policy is made when we bring the promoters together with the conservatives, right? When we bring them together, that's when good policy comes out. And so I see that plays out. I probably tend more towards the promoter side, the Bill side, than the Dr. Bob side. And so nothing's happening fast enough, right? Look at all this amazing stuff we can do. Look at all these amazing ways we can carry the message tomorrow, right? And it won't happen that fast. There's stuff that's happening now that I was really hoping would happen in 2017, you know, and it's happening now. And then there's the other side of that where folks are saying, whoa, 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 slow your roll. We really need to think about this further, right? And everybody's in that conversation, sometimes maybe a little frustrated. And I just, it's just a perspective I've had recently along those lines that if you're in this and you're feeling a little frustrated, yeah, you're probably in one side or the other, but the important thing is we need to stay at the table together and move in the right direction. What I found is it always comes out better when both groups, both teams, both sides of that conversation are sitting around the table. And so just if you're kind of new to this conversation, and you're frustrated by why we aren't doing something faster, or you're frustrated by we're doing too much too fast, probably lends some thoughts there. So some questions, and there's some thoughts, and there's some stuff. I saw some Canadian specific concerns and ideas that I want to speak to, especially around Find A Near Me. I'd give a little history on that, and Tracy could certainly speak to what's happening now. And also, how can we get involved, like SEO wise, that sort of thing. And we've got great folks on the, I can see right here, so probably could even stretch questions beyond just Tracy and myself. You got Patrick and Morgan. I think I saw a few others that can speak to that. But I think where I wanted to go with that at a minimum is the fellowship is in charge of this, right? So in terms of like, hey, how come when I go to AA.org that's supposedly representing our area or our local intergroup, the information's not right? Let your area, let your intergroup know that and contact the office, you know, and get that fixed. I mean, if we asked everybody in the fellowship just to do that little piece of it, everything would be dialed in. I mean, we have people in the office that are reaching out. I mean, but there are, what do we have, like over 500 intergroups listed on that Find A Near Me? I mean, that's a lot of folks to reach out to, and there's some that are missing, you know? And so really, if everybody reached out to the office to get that dialed in, that would be helpful. Even around content, and I think the office can probably speak to that more, but in terms of like, how do we take what's out there on AA.org and bring that locally so that we kind of, the rising tide and SEO kind of lifts all boats. And so I would say definitely get involved, but the meeting guide app is an example where somebody locally saw a need and they realized that they had a life experience that said, hey, I think I can help solve this. And it went pretty well. And then somebody next door asked, can we come in and join that too? And then can we come in? And it grew. And it was a beautiful, elegant solution that stays like entrenched in our traditions with both a capital T and a little and a lowercase t. And it came from the fellowship, right? And it evolved from that. And it really, when it showed up on the doorstep of the office, I mean, it was pretty dialed in. And so that's just a great example of like, I don't think the fellowship needs to wait. When's the office going to do this for us? I put it the other way around. What's going on? What are you doing? What do you want the office to do to help you guys carry the message more broadly? And so there's another question that came up. I think it came up last week and I saw it in ours. It was around website templates, right? And agree with, but I think there's another perspective. So last week's perspective was kind of, hey, look, the office is at the bottom of the triangle. We got a lot going on already. We don't want to be seen as driving how people should build their websites or any of that. But I didn't get that was the question from out there. I got the question was, is there a way we should use some kind of guidelines, right? And so I just want to present another perspective. And again, I don't feel strongly, it's really up to the fellowship, right? But another perspective is, and I don't know what the current numbers are, Tracy, this is another spot where you can correct me maybe, but I think we get over a million visits to our website, aa.org, right, a month. And I think if I remember, it's something like 10,000 a day click need help with a drinking problem. And that's a lot. And what we do when they click that is we say, find an AA near you, right? We can guide them there. And then imagine what that drop off is. You're in a place that feels like it's official AA. And that's even hard, right? Because there's some fakers out there. But you're in a place that is official AA and it says, find an AA near you. And you click on that link and you go to something that looks dramatically different, right? And we've all in the fellowship gotten a lot better, I'd say, in the last 5 years or so. I'd say prior to 5 years ago, if you clicked on a local area website or intergroup, it would say something that no human would understand, just us recovering drunks would. It would say area, XX, and come for this meetup or come for that. And people are like, I don't understand this. I'm trying to stop drinking. I don't understand what all these, what all these terms are. And it would look very different than if you're on AA.org and it says find AA near you and you go there. It looks very different, right? So what if we were able to put out some guidelines, I don't know, that at least said, hey, if you're going to build a site, here's what, good practice is, around the fellowship. Here are some styling that would get you closer. I'm not suggesting that. I'm just saying that's the perspective I hear from that question. And I think it's worthwhile having that conversation in the fellowship, really, and seeing what the fellowship wants. So that's that piece on that, just another perspective on that in that conversation. I guess I want to talk for a second about the app and just checking in. Tim, how am I doing? Am I right on? Am I on schedule in terms of where I'm going?
You're just fine. You're covering good stuff. That's all that matters.
All right. Okay. Yeah. I was really trying to just respond to the questions I saw and from my experience. So, all right. Talk about the app and then I'll talk about the why is find A near you a little bit off in some places, or different, I'd say, not off. So the original thinking for an app, it really came, and it came early on, maybe even prior to when we had a communication plan in place. But what we were saying is, at least at the board, is we're having a hard time engaging people unless they're like directly in service. And even when they're directly in service, we're having a hard time engaging people beyond the service structure to help them see like all the good things that their seventh tradition contributions, where they're going. I live in New Jersey, so it's really easy. Whenever we get somebody that's grumpy, we put them in the car, we drive them into the office, they get a tour of the office and they go to the office, the grumpy ones go to the office ready to tell them they need to fix or stop something or start doing something. They go around that circuit and they see all the ways that we are carrying the message and supporting people locally, boots on the ground, carrying the message, and they leave changed, like forever changed. The grumpier they come in, the bigger the zealots they are when they come out. But why can't we make that more available to people that maybe live further away, right? And how can we communicate all the good stuff that's going on? And so the really attractive thing about the app, because it was helping people were using it, and we thought we could just drop in a few, hey, did you knows in there. That's what you kind of see in the news service. And we kind of thought about it. We brainstormed and envisioned it a lot of different ways. I think at the time we knew roughly what an app would cost, but I don't think The app costs more, I'll tell you, than to maintain. And it takes a lot more to maintain than we initially thought it would. We think it's already built. It should be easy, right? And then a new iPhone comes out and a whole bunch of stuff needs to be done. Or we need, you know, all of a sudden we got a lot of users. At the time, we were hoping, we were like, if we really work hard, we get this out, we get more people involved. Because it really, some people weren't signing up for the app because they felt like it wasn't AA approved, right? So we thought if we bring that on board, it'll feel AA approved and maybe more people get involved and we'll be able to start. We could send out just quick little notes like, did you know, invite people to come to the website to learn more, to give them a little bit more info. And we were hoping like if we worked really hard that maybe after a couple of years, we could possibly have 100,000, you know, people using it. Right. And I don't know what the latest is on that, but I think there's something like 500,000 downloads at least. I don't know what the monthly users are, but we were pretty excited. And even as a board, and I want to talk about this to committees for a second. Anytime you have a website or an app or anything that's driven by a committee, it's gonna just pile on things over time, because all it is a result of a number of compromises and conflicts. When you have a lean company building an app, there's usually one or two people that are like completely in charge and they say, nope, that's off brand, cut it, you know. But when you have a committee, especially a committee full of drunks that don't want to hurt anyone's feelings but they're a little sensitive, let's all find a way to make this happen, you just end up piling it on, right? So in a funny way on that, we said in the vision early on, this app needs to stay lean. It needs to stay true to purpose. We're going to do communications and meeting guide apps, right? And then the conversation started. What about adding the big book? What about the daily quote, right? And the debate starts. And we set the office. This was the task to the office. We need you to deliver this app in a nice, lean way. But it should include lots of communications, the big book, maybe the 12 and 12, is there a way you could do that? Maybe a meeting guide starter app, you know, something like that. A meeting startup kit, like all these ideas come out of the, and the office was awesome. They took great notes. And then they came back to the next board meeting. They're like, yeah, we're going to start with a quick news. We're going to do the meeting guide. And we really pressed them. And they're like, fine, we'll do the daily quote. And thank goodness that the office did that. They listened, they hear, but then they came back and they're like, you guys, I think it's a little much. And even then, yeah, some people I know, I hear some people saying it feels like a Swiss Army knife. Trust me, keeping it as lean as it is through a whole committee process, it's pretty impressive. So, and please give these guys, please know that anytime iPhone comes out with something new, that's where most of our users are on using iPhone. It often takes like a kind of a redo on a number of things, or all of a sudden something stops working. So definitely give these guys their feedback, but be kind to them. They're working hard, and there's a small group of them that are doing it. So that's a little bit on the background on the app itself. I love that as an example of coming from the fellowship. Let's see. All right, so let's talk a little bit about the Find AA Near You. When we were onboarding the app, there were some inner groups that were getting really nervous. And they were feeling that the web traffic that they were getting to go find meetings was going to get taken away. And they felt that that's where they could communicate to their folks locally and really reach out for contributions, right? And you know, they were concerned about that. And so there was a lot of debate about back and forth. And we really came to a compromise that we said early on, we would not build that functionality into the website. We would stick to kind of the traditional approach where the local folks would give us their link and you could say, find AA near you and, you know, look geographically and click on the link. And then it's all, you know, driven by the local folks. I mean, just like Meeting Guide app is too, right? All those meetings come from the local entities. But that's really why they are different. Now, I don't know if that concern is still there, because since then, I think we've done a good job demonstrating that actually the app drives traffic, right? I mean, if you look at it and it says, you know, you can click on who owns this meeting information. You can, if you click on buying literature, it'll take you local. I mean, that's been the goal, right? And so I think maybe that concern has been alleviated. I don't know, but it's probably worth a visit. But again, when a time when budgets are tight and things are working pretty good, okay, you know, these are things that need to be balanced also, because everything costs, everything we want to do to improve, even if it's great, it costs money, it takes time. Anytime we're spending money and time on one thing, we're not on another. So what's the right balance? We can have 12 good ideas, but only have the people or the resources to fund six. So what's the six we need to do now? Doesn't mean it's a bad idea. It just means there's only so much we can do. So that's, if you're wondering why that's it. And if you're not happy with that content for yourself locally, that's what I mean. Again, reach out to your inner group and say, why aren't you guys reaching out to the office and making sure that our local info is dialed in better? Because I think there's a lot of people that when someone's seeking help, sometimes just due to SEO, they're going to find AA.org first and then get driven from there to local AA. And that's always been the goal, right? That's the goal of the office, is how can we help the people, boots on the ground in the local areas, carry the message? How can we make that information available? How can we bring, when someone comes to our door, how can we get them to your door so you can pick them up in the car, right? So that's definitely a way to get involved. If you're on there and you see your stuff's not right, talk to your folks in the area and inner group and have them reach out. I think, you know, there's one thing I've been hearing for a while, and I'm just going to put it out there. It's fun being a past trustee because now I can throw things out there like this. I'm just going to say it. I think Canada, not intentionally, but I think sometimes they get the short shift sometimes because things are a little bit different there. Codes are different. You know, banking's different. A lot of things are different. And you've got a lot of folks in the U.S. with best intentions, but don't always have that top of mind. And so definitely need the Canadians to lean in a little bit even heavier and keep the folks honest. They're working hard there, but sometimes those things get missed. All right, two more things, and then I'm going to be quiet, I promise. The provocateur in me a little bit. That didn't even need to be translated, did it? I want to talk about comments, right? And I'm not saying that we should turn them on everywhere and do that all, but I just want to point out something, because I think a lot of times people worry about comment sections and anything that we're doing, and they pull the anonymity card, right? But there's way of leaving comments that don't impact that, right? And I think I heard a great example, just because I'm following NASA doesn't mean I'm an astronaut, or just because I'm following CIA, they're probably a little bit even more anonymous than we are, right? Just because I'm following that doesn't mean I'm a spy, right? If I leave a comment on there, that doesn't mean, you know, one thing or another. My take, honestly, and there is some anonymity concerns and pieces to that, but I think we as alcoholics just get really nervous about what somebody might say about us, or they might not like it. They might not like us. And I get it. I feel though, especially in the way the world is now, I don't know how you guys are, but when I'm shopping for something and I see like one star, you can tell when you read, you can tell, is this like a legit one star? Is this kind of a crazy person, right? Like, we know. And if I see something with no one stars and no crazy people showing up, I'm like questioning, are these guys moderating, you know, editing the comments? I actually trust things with comments. And if I see a few negative, that's fine. I don't feel like everything is a perfect fit for everyone. And let's face it, not all consumers out there are great. I saw this one thing, they were complaining about this. I think it was like some sort of mask, and it comes with a protective coating, but not everybody understood that was protective coating. So they complained that the mask, you couldn't see through it. But like, that's a good example. Not everybody has comments is actually fully informed, right? And we as consumers understand that. And I just think there's room. I also don't feel like people maybe saying unkind things publicly is, I don't think that was the intention of the tradition that a lot of folks quote about, we should be outside of, you know, public controversy. I think it means AA should not get involved with a comment about what political direction they think all their members should take. And I don't think it means AA should never be debated in public. We're not in charge of that. We're not in charge of what people fight about in public. So I just wanted to just put that out there anyway, and just say that I'm not advocating we need to turn on comments everywhere all the time. I just want to say a little bit, come on, it's not all about anonymity. I think some of us are a little nervous. Somebody might not like us, right? But that's pretty normal. All right, last thing. I think I said that last time, but I just remember Clorinda mentioned something that I absolutely loved in the last session, and I didn't get a chance to work with Clorinda much, but we're definitely advocating for Clorinda to come. So really glad to see she's there, and the team seems to be doing really well. So really talking about how a lot of folks that come to our website now are on, they're on phones, they're on mobile devices more than anything else. And not a lot of our content is mobile friendly. And I think we knew that, when we're going to talk about content creation tonight, we've got a ton of content. Problem is, it's in jail. It's in silos, right? Like, we have great content that could answer a number of questions jammed in a pamphlet. And you know, the old fashioned way, like when I wanted to write a book report when I was a kid, I would go to the library and say, I need a book report on the French Indian War or something like that. And they give me the books that it's in. But now the world we live in, if I have a question about what year did that start, I just type in that question and I get just that answer. And maybe I get several answers from several books, and hopefully it's all the same answer, right? But we have that. We have all of that content, but it's going to take some work. Maybe it's some fellowship pitching in on kind of parsing that out, tagging it, getting that content really kind of more friendly, more searchable, more of a knowledge base, right? So we need to keep, the grapevine is great at making content about today from our fellowship. And, we've got our PSAs, but, AWS is sitting on a lot of content guidelines, other stuff that we could really turn into a knowledge base and make more friendly in bite-sized pieces, more mobile friendly along those lines. And I guess that's another thing I'd love to see in the future too for us, is for Grapevine and AWS to just find where their strengths are, play to that, and work well together. They're working so much better together than I've seen in a long time these days. And they both have their role. I mean, Grapevine is AA right now, this second. What they can post, what they put up on their YouTube channel, the way they do it, they can move in a different way, nimbly. And AA World Services, they've got a different set of roles that they need to approach, and we need that. And they can work within that, Grapevine, and then working together, I think we're going to see a lot of great stuff coming out of that. And times are a little tight now, I think, for everyone everywhere. And I think that that's going to be hard, but it might also be good for us. It'll help us prioritize, and it'll help us see what we're doing without. And maybe really think through, when times start to get better, how that will play out. Are we being as efficient as possible and getting the most out of the basket money that helps fund carrying the message? So I think I took some notes on some of those questions. I think I did my best to cover them all. If I missed them, please keep us honest. But I need to save time for Tracy, because she's going to have a ton of good stuff.
Thanks, Bo. I was worried. We weren't going to get enough covered, and you covered a great deal. So we've got a lot of subjects out there. Again, a reminder for everyone, if you have questions about any of this, make sure you put it in chat to the chat monitors, whether it be Canadian or English. And as soon as Tracy's done, we'll start hitting the question section for you. So Tracy, you are up, and you've got a lot to follow up on.
Yeah, thank you so much, Tim. And thank you, Bo, for that great introduction into all these great subjects. And I'm going to try to, I took some notes on what you were saying, and I'll try to extend them. I don't think I have any big corrections, just more to add. And it's kind of really great that Bo and I are here together, because Bo has, all the history, and he has, how did we get to this point? Whereas I got hired in October 2020 for a brand new position it was a digital product manager position in the communication services department. It did not exist prior to this time. I'm the first person to have that position. And I'm also an alcoholic. So I feel very amazed and, that all my technical years of working, out there in IT, I'm an IT person from, my dad worked at IBM and brought home from first IBM PCXT, and I got on there and started programming in DOS, so I go way back in being a computer geek. I got a computer science degree, the whole thing, before it was cool, and I'm sure it's cool now, but it's apparently people do these things that they go to companies that they get stocks and stuff like that. That was not a kind of thing you did when I started in this industry. So it's something that I love and I'm passionate about. And so is AA, something that I love and I'm passionate about. And it's just so great to be able to combine those two things every day as I go to the GSO office. excuse me. So I, my babies are a.org meeting guide app. I work really closely with the podcast team, kind of helped sort of start that going in a real direction. Some of these other sessions, you've met my coworker, Julie Gonzalez, and she, our team covers a lot of territory and we each have different areas that we know more about. So if some of the questions tonight, we already had a session on Google Ads and she's the analytics expert. So some of those areas hopefully got covered. Certainly those could be brought up again in questions, but I'll probably defer anything like that till I can get better information, just so you know. So my area is more, website content development, the tech stuff, strategy, working with the vendors, strategy, et cetera. So those are kind of my areas of knowledge and with the podcast as well. So I've contributed to the comprehensive media plan by giving basically the information that we gave to the boards all in the past few years. That's really where the plan has started. It started with gathering, where are we at? What's been reported on already? And I think that's a great place to start. And we needed all that, sort of as built kind of information. I think it may have caused some confusion though out in the fellowship when they read it at the conference. It was in the background material, both smiling because Julie and I wrote this big document about an Excel spreadsheet about all the things that weren't quite right in the comprehensive media plan. Because today, we're reporting the board, by the time these got typed up and translated, that's, a month later. Then it's months later before it goes somewhere else. I mean, this stuff is kind of like dated at the minute it hits the presses, to be honest. So I, if there's questions, I saw some questions about in there about like things being accurate and so on. And so, yeah, there's probably some things that are now different and I'll address anything specific that I need to. And also where is meeting guide specifically in the comprehensive media plan, I think is still to be determined. I think it's a little more clear how maybe the websites are gonna be addressed. The podcast, now we have a new podcast section that's in content. And I think so some of the stuff is still TBD in terms of just how do these digital products fit into a comprehensive media plan? What should we be talking about here versus what is really operational and stuff that we really don't need to be dumping into a plan and having everybody pour over because it's dated, right? Like what we've done, whatever version we're on was reported there, we're probably already on the next version of Meeting Guide app, So anyway, that's just some sort of background on all of that. I guess I'll also just want to give a big plug for our support. We really want everybody to know that we really care about all the feedback and comments. We invite them, we get them through our app support, appsupport@aa.org. We have a team that looks through them every day. We have a 5-day turnaround, max we try to hit. Usually we're much quicker than that. If you contact website services at aa.org, that's for all the feedback, specific, AA near you questions, something's wrong with my data. Actually, that could also just go to memberservices@aa.org because they're the ones that are probably going to be correcting that data in the back end. So we like people to go ahead and put their questions there because then we can track them. And then we also use that. We use the feature. We have so many feature requests coming in from app support for Meeting Guide. We put those in our backlog. We attach them if they're already existing. And we have some feature requests that have been asked for so many times that, hey, you know what? I think this is important. I think we need to be addressing this. And they are. They're in now our project roadmap because you guys asked for them. So if we don't get them that way, they're a lot harder to track. If they just come in more random sort of ways, I really highly encourage you guys to use those. We take it really seriously and we take our support really seriously. So some of the specific questions that Bo already jumped in on, like some of the specific AA near you, I just wanted to give a little bit from the sort of development back end of what we were doing on the back end with that. We actually had prior to the new release, we were not getting the data as an active connection from NetSuite. So all the AA near you data that was coming, while it was reconciled manually by Julie, every week or so when it got put back up on the old website, it wasn't actually even a live feed. So one of our big goals and what we accomplished, and it took a lot to accomplish this, was a direct feed from NetSuite using a program that would then take this import and upload it to our Drupal backend and be able to display it on the website as it appears in NetSuite. So this has introduced some really interesting things, because how does it information get into NetSuite? Well, you can call member services and they will then get into the records and make some changes for you. Apparently you can also change your phone number when you're buying a book and then that or ordering some books, and those phone numbers will then appear on AA near you, which has caused some interesting feedback. So we're learning, so maybe we need to tighten down that data on that end a little bit more and so on. But there's been this huge effort just to get the data normalized from that old representation. You used to be able to have any kind of label on a phone number, for example. And I mean, just it didn't matter what you called it. You called it, Alice's desk or whatever, and it would appear as the label. Well, we didn't do that on the new website. You know, we normalized those data. We made those labels be more specific. So it took endless hours just to get to this point. So that's phase one. And actually we have a whole phase one for the whole website, different areas that are in phase one. We are currently working right now on a lot of the feedback has come in from ANRU like districts versus how an intergroup is represented. You know, different fields were represented on the old site. Those are the fields that are represented right now. Now, maybe we need to represent some new fields. Maybe we need to be able to pinpoint locations better. And so these are all conversations that we're having right now and looking at having for your next rollout of AA Near You. And we're going to be further refining that and hoping that just, right now it's using the Google Maps API. So we know that we're getting the best and most, best practices in terms of getting our data points. So yeah, there's going to be a lot more work to that, and we'll look forward to your feedback on that. Definitely as well with AA Near You, as has been mentioned, and with the meeting guide too, driving people to local support. I mean, that's the big thing. Our website is about helping everyone else who's out there, the fellowship, do that, serve the alcoholic better. We're just this conduit. We're just pushing everybody to get, they're going to get the best support at their local level. So I think that we are definitely focused on that. You can tell on our website, we're always driving people back to that AA Near You. And then of course, if you're looking at the meeting guide app, it's like, go to the meeting details, you see who the meeting that was listed by, you can contact them. Just lots of opportunities to talk to your local offices. In terms of website template idea. So that kind of segues here with that. That's an interesting idea. And I would love to hear, what the IGCO, Intergroup Central Offices, or the Fellowship thinks about something like that. Definitely I'll just say from what I've thought about that whole kind of conversation is, our website, the AA.org website, has a really specific purpose. As we've been talking here, we have a ton of content. Like we are just... We have like thousands and thousands of assets on the back end, and we don't have a lot of dynamic content right now. We're not a place that we have a what's new section, but we're not posting continually about, hey, we need some volunteers for this event, or this is a big event's coming up, or this or that. Things that I would say at the local level, local websites often have a very different purpose. They're definitely going to be constructed for a very, for example, they're going to have a meeting list right on their website. We are not going to have a meeting list, as Bo thankfully, gave the history on that. We don't have a meeting list on our website, but we can drive people to the local sites, and we can also direct them to the meeting guide app where they can get their meeting listings. So our website structure really does not suit local offices probably at all. I doubt there's any local offices, too many anyway, that are using Drupal as a backend. I know that a lot of them use WordPress, or people know because of the meeting guide app. I know what a lot of people are using on their back end. And, when it comes to the meeting guide, we do in that case actually give, we don't say you should use this or that, but we give a lot of guidance in terms of how you might set up a website in order to provide the meeting listings. So there's a place where we can really give guidance because we know what works best in order to get your meetings listed on our app. Now, we're not going to, from there, we're just talking about meeting listings. So we're not giving guidance on the rest of the site, but we definitely give guidance there. And we also love to direct people if they need help setting anything up to TIAA is a good resource for that. Lots of just, I'm constantly amazed at the willingness of members to just get in there and help other members. We also will refer people to their other, like say you're in, you know, South Dakota or whatever, we would say, hey, if you're setting up something here, why don't you talk to this other entity that's also in your area? Because it seems that, you know, each community, you know, if I'm in, you know, Redondo Beach and then South Bay and I'm setting up a website, like the kind of things that I'm focusing on there, maybe what I happen to know there is like the Roundup is really important, you know, and all year long they're trying to get people to go to that, to there's the gratitude breakfast and so on. So having a website that's able to host that kind of information easily is probably really important to them. If I'm going somewhere else, there may be different things that are important. So the technologies might even be reflecting what is important to those local areas and that local flavor that those websites give. To me, actually, I think that is it's actually kind of like going in a meeting room. Like if I go to, what is it? The 29 Coconuts meeting in Hawaii or something that I still want to get to, or the beach meeting at Sapphire Street that I used to go to, you know, every meeting area is going to be very different and reflect that local flavor. So I think that's actually something that we wouldn't want to squash at all, that's for sure. So those are just some thoughts on that topic. I love that you brought up the app and some of the, you know, I do a lot of presentations on the Meeting Guide app. And one of the things I actually usually say is that we do have a primary purpose for each of our digital products. And so we try to stick to what those primary purposes are. And the Meeting Guide app is definitely to get people to their meetings primarily so we provide, make sure that we provide accurate data and get and are able to provide a really easy to use interface that allows people to get to meetings. And then the secondary one is communication. And right now we provide some communication from the office from Grapevine that I don't think the fellowship would see otherwise probably, because I don't think that people are, you know, necessarily out there going to AA.org to check on what's new regularly. So we do have that coming through and that does provide some communication. We are actually hoping to open that up still. It's still a long-term plan, but I like try to get more local information in there. So some of the good information that's come through there is like the Big Book Story submission. I mean, how would people know about that otherwise that we're accepting that we're done with that, submissions for the Big Book. So hopefully I feel that we are delivering on what our primary purpose is for the app. And we do get comments. It's interesting because there's this idea of comments. I don't remember seeing that question, but you know, people comment on the app in the App Store and in Google Play Store all the time and we respond to them. So, you know, that has not turned out to be a bad thing for us with the apps. I think we have pretty good stars, and then it does give us an opportunity because you can respond within those contexts, you know, to people. Let's see what else was on here. Definitely mobile friendly is something that we are so focused on. I mean, when we ask designers to work on templates now for new designs for the website, it's always like, show us what it's going to look like in mobile, plan for mobile. And we have, as Clorinda may have shared, we're hopeful that we're going to have some of our other assets going into a more mobile friendly format. There's a lot of assets just already out there. There's so many PDFs and so much literature that's already out there. And I don't know if that would all be converted, but you know, if you look at the bulk of the website, yes, it isn't, it has a lot of literature out there that isn't, you know, quote unquote mobile friendly, but we are moving, the website is mobile friendly. It is very mobile friendly. And so we're moving in that direction and really aware that most of our users, most people who come are on mobile. Also most people are coming to the website to see daily reflections. That's our number one thing. So daily reflections being in the Meeting Guide app is actually just doing a service and allowing people to have that most popular, you know, item that we actually have on the website right there also on their mobile app. And, you know, we are working with Grapevine really closely. What's really great is that there's a lot of things that Grapevine is able to do and probably will do, like with their app, for example, that we then don't have to do, because it would stretch us. It would make the app more convoluted, or maybe we'd even have to consider a whole second app. But Grapevine might do some of those things, like, you know, of course, having the day counter or some of the more membership type tools. So we won't, we'll be, we're going to be very compatible with them. And same with the podcast. So Grapevine has this great podcast out right now, and it has a certain format that really works because it's personal stories. And then we get to do something completely more GSO sort of service, sort of behind the scenes, bottom of the triangle, what's going on in the service world and at GSO and all sorts of topics that is going to be a slightly different format, but will be very compatible. So I think I've kind of tried to cover everything that was, at least the poll covered, and the main question. So thanks.
Thank you so much, Tracy and Bo, both. You both covered a lot of it, and you covered a lot of the questions that were already sent out. I will ask right now, do we have any questions from Amy or Michelle in French or English? If not, I've got some stuff. So, Amy?
Hi, Tim. Yes, we do have a question. Here's one regarding the websites and AA World Service videos on YouTube. When embedding AA World Service YouTube videos on an AA group website, do we need to include any copyright language or disclaimer that the videos are owned by AA World Service?
Good question. Bo or Tracy, either one.
Bo, I don't know if you know this for sure. I would assume that you would, but that's an IP policy question, so I could double check on that. But it should say it in the video as well, I think. So I don't know if you need to add anything like that.
That's what I was going to say. I think when we set those up with that exact expectation, right? Again, that's back to raising everybody's boat with a rising tide by connecting everything. So that's always been the hope and the goal. And there's a beginning and an end part of the video that should cover that.
And I think that's common practice when you're on websites and you link to YouTube. The accreditation is on YouTube, and everybody pretty much expects that.
But that was the goal of like kind of going to a YouTube kind of concept so that that could happen. People were linking on the AA.org site, but occasionally things would change and we weren't ready for that yet. And so we might change the file name or something. And then all of a sudden you get these broken links. It was driving everybody nuts. So that was kind of the goal on the YouTube. Plus it's so highly searched, right? I mean, that was part of the comprehensive media plan. Go to where people are looking for information. Let's have our information be there. YouTube made sense for both that kind of SEO, the video kind of maintenance side of things, and just that search piece. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I'm just proud of us as a fellowship of having like that solid, the front half of the big book available, you know, so broadly, you know, the way it is, so that, you know, it's so much more accessible the way it is. So anyway, really much of an over answer, I'm guilty. Tracy had it right at the beginning.
Amy, did you have anything else?
I did. So here's another one. Who should decide on the editorial content on a regional website? Is it the web committee that should make the decision based on the 36 spiritual principles? Or should it be a larger regional committee?
Oh man, that's who should decide? That's the question. I don't know. I think that's up to that area to sort that out. I mean, whenever I serve on a committee, I feel like I'm serving at the pleasure of the fellowship that's serving that, right? And so certainly there's times you're asked, come back with some ideas, bring us your thinking. But yeah, it's usually kind of back and forth, but I think it kind of varies locally for sure. I mean, you're gonna have your content experts and you're gonna have folks that aren't, but that doesn't mean that they don't have a thought about carrying the message, right? So that you'd hope that both would work well. I think our structure really supports that kind of conversation between the experts in the technical side or the communication side of this and the experts at just carrying the message, right? I don't know. That's probably a terrible non-answer, but.
I would encourage that public information and CPC committees also be involved with that, because they're usually right there in the middle of carrying the message and they're the ones that are getting the question out of the public. So they can be consulted as well. But as Bo pointed out, the bigger the committee, the more pretty soon you don't get anything accomplished. And I know I just helped build an AA website for a local intergroup, and it's a tough project. Amy, anything else? And a reminder to if we have some Canadian folks, please connect your proper translation at the bottom of the page in the toolbar. And Michelle, do we have anything from the Canadian folks?
No, not yet, Tim.
All right. So I'm sorry, go ahead. Somebody jumped in there.
I did have a few more questions.
Go for it, Amy.
Okay. Just curious what the age demographic of those using the meeting app are and the website. To what level are the presenters and their teams engaged in creating something that is geared towards the senior and deaf member?
I'll leave that, Tracy. You probably have some stats.
Actually, I don't have stats on, we don't collect stats on who's using the meeting guide app from an age perspective. We don't, I mean, that isn't something we get in our analytics. We'd actually have to do some sort of survey, like we just had the membership survey that went out, but we don't have any, you know, Google does not collect analytics on age in any way. I mean, we can tell what country people are coming from, or at least what language they have and so on. But in terms of accessibility, accessibility is one of our number one priorities. And we know we're behind the curve a little bit, but as we are in a lot of topics, it's like we've done what we could to get the site launched. We did the design with accessibility in mind. And we have, you know, ASL videos. We have most of our, you know, the larger literature is in ASL. And we have some QSL videos that are going to be posted soon. So we do, we're actually, that's a really big topic for us. So if there's something more specific, because you had a few things in there, you can, if I didn't answer it.
It was, I read the question that was submitted. So
okay. They
can follow up with more if they have more questions.
I'm going to throw in there in this, I don't think this is inappropriate. They can contact our national PICPC working group, and we've been gathering some analytics from around the country on individual websites. Our inner group runs about 58 to 61 mobile, and it's a large inner group in a large metropolitan area. And about a half, believe it or not, of the mobile is under 30, and about half is over 30. And so I can give you that. And that seems to be very average around the country in the bigger areas, not in the more rural areas. But we've been trying to gather some of those analytics. So I will put forward, because this question came up in another CPC conference out of the Northwest recently. And the question was, can AA share some analytics from the back end of the website? Not necessarily on the advertising, because I think Google AdWords would be very different for GSO than it would be for a local intergroup or a local area. So those probably wouldn't do us any good. But can more general, we don't need a deep dive into the analytics off of the website, but just some general information from the back end of the analytics. And I had one of the trustees answered this in that meeting, that they were actually putting together a committee and working on that. But if Tracy and Bo have any more information on that, so that the rest of the troops in the room might get a little feedback on that as well.
Yeah. Go ahead, Tracy.
Well, we do provide analytics to the board, and I think that those were provided in the conference background, and they will be in this year's conference background too. So they are available to the fellowship, and they have been, I think, for many years. They are just the same analytics that we report to the board, and they are, yeah.
Yeah, that was one of the questions, and it brought up a lot of conversation around that. So it just gives some of the local groups a better idea of what's going on, and possibly even sharing some of the keywords that are working well off of the AA website. Again, Google AdWords would be very different for local groups, but as Bo brought up, the meeting app, you know, we get some 30,000 visitors, and you know, two-thirds of them are because they searched for AA meetings or AANA meetings. And then the second search term is always alcoholism, right? And then there's a bunch of smaller search terms under that. So I think this goes back to that conversation. I think what's being asked that may not be understood is when these folks are bringing up templates and how AA might help with that, I think we're seeing this question out of areas where they're running into resistance in building websites in their area from some of their membership. And their membership doesn't feel comfortable building something out and coming up with the language. And I think that's where this movement is coming from. Just doing some presentations myself, there's resistance from those that know and those that don't know, right, in our local areas. And they feel like it's not all right for them to build a website and put it out to the local public. And they feel more comfortable if it's coming from GSO. And I think that's where all this template conversation is coming from.
Got it. Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, to me, it's not a far stretch, at least around some guidelines, you know, around language and things like that and guidance. And you could just put it out there. Nobody has to do it, but here's how you could do that. And you could probably solve that as well as have when somebody visits locally, get the local flavor, but kind of feel like I'm also in a similar, you know, place that I was a minute ago.
Yeah, Al-Anon puts out the G20 card, which is only 2.5 pages of recommendations for local websites, but it is a good general starting place. And it's like the local group can say, oh my, there are some recommendations here, right? So it is okay to put up a website.
Right. Yeah, I mean, there are, I don't know how many documents of guidelines on AA.org, right? I mean, as Tracy said, there's thousands of documents. I'll bet you half of them are guidelines, you know, but probably not that many. But yeah, guidelines are not a new concept at all.
Yeah, that's good. Well, I was, it sounded like from that question that it was more of a technical infrastructure kind of guideline. So if we could clear that up, I think that would help a lot and get that. Group Services is actually who puts the guidelines out from General Service Office. So Group Services would be the place to go to for guidelines.
Amy, you have more?
I do. There a follow-up. It's on that. It seems that you have analytics in terms of the location. If you don't have it in the terms of age, how do you know whether you are serving as many as possible? It seems a wider picture of analytics would provide more information. That's the follow-up.
To actually get an age analytics, I mean, people have a lot of concerns about privacy and about the fact that we gather analytics to begin with. So we do very anonymous based analytics. You know, we have everything tagged in such a way that there's no way that Google knows who's accessing our site. And so that everything is done in a very opaque way, but so that we can get the number of page hits and that we can gather analytics on the actual, who's using what feature and so on and so forth. If people want to, we just did a membership survey, and membership survey went out and came back with like who's, you know, at AA meetings and what the age range is there. Certainly that can be a tool in general, and we have some results from that. And we could use that to then say, I think we're going to be using that to say, how can we better serve maybe populations that we aren't reaching as much? In terms of actually the who's using the app, I would be very interested to see if people would want to be participating and providing that information. It seems like it would definitely have to be on a voluntary basis. I would want to not feel like there's some sort of overreach coming out from the General Service Office, like, so how old are you? You know, like, what? I don't know. It just seems, if people are comfortable answering that question, and like, how would you even go about having a survey like that? I mean, maybe we could generate a survey like that out of the office. This Patrick can speak to what it took to do a membership survey in general. It's a huge, huge undertaking. I mean, it's huge. And then how do you represent it? And we're spending a lot of money and time getting how we're going to represent it worked out. So when we start getting into individual demographics versus just like that sort of really oblique, how are people visiting the age? It's a whole different ballgame. And it really isn't a meeting guide, digital product kind of ballgame. But what we're looking at right now is we have a lot of analytics on what features people are using, you know, and what do they want to do. Now that's it right in our wheelhouse. You know, it's like, okay, like people are like trying, they're changing the distance and they want to go here. So maybe for our in-person meetings, we should, you know, the map feature has been requested a lot. So we'll get that map feature going, you know, and we do get a lot of just people can comment to us, hey, you know, different things that might, I guess, lean toward indicating an age situation, but like accessibility, like we, our fonts, should, you should still be able to read everything if you increase the font size, those types of things. But yeah, like I said, it's a whole different animal if we start getting more membership specific data.
Yeah. And if I could add on to that too, I mean, we could certainly do analytics, but I think what we see too, and I think YouTube, that might show up for some reason. It shows up easier on YouTube. I don't remember what it was, but I remember us seeing that there was one particular kind of age group, and it's like men in the middle-aged men were like the heaviest users or something. Don't quote me on that, but I remember that enough that maybe there is something there that comes on the YouTube side. But to the overall point too, I think the trick is I haven't been in any conversations when I was on the board around what's the one single way we can get that information, right? It's more about, hey, is there another way we can do that to reach this group or a broader group? And also, look, they're alcoholics. Trust me, if they're not getting what they want or hear, we'll hear about it, or the office will hear about it, right? And so then you can start speaking along those lines. I mean, it's kind of around ASL, right? ASL is a great example. When we were first starting trying to do the videos, we didn't know. And so we sent out an email, right? And we got a lot of feedback like, guys, if you're trying to reach the ASL community, an email, a written email is not the most effective way to do that, right? And then we learned, all right, we need to send out a video, an ASL video that invites folks to this. And all of a sudden we get this huge, you know, turnaround. So back to what I was saying earlier, the fellowship's in charge. If there are people, or there, if there's a demographic that we know aren't being able to participate in carrying the message, then, you know, the office wants to hear from you on that. The board wants to know about that. So that's probably the best way. Analytics are good. I don't disagree with that. Everybody knows I love the numbers, but another way is, if you know it's not happening, reach out.
And as Beau's brought up a couple of times, reach out in your own community. We were building our local website, realized there wasn't any ASL anywhere in Northern California. And so we put up an ASL page and linked it back to the AA stuff and the AA YouTube videos. And so now there's a presence when somebody puts in American Sign Language AA, there's a presence locally for that. And for those who don't know, the new AA website, since I was an ankle biter for many years about the old AA website, I have to do a mea culpa and tell you that I've done a lot of research on the new AA website around the country, and it is showing up on page one, page two, page three for several search terms for alcoholism and for how to stop drinking. And that is probably the best thing we've done in 20 or 30 years, just my opinion, on reaching the public. We need to be out there where they're looking for us, and they're on Google looking for us. Michelle, so I've done my mea culpa. The new website is doing a great job, and it's really so much more improved than what it was. Michelle, have we got anything out of Canada?
Oui, ben, je vais en poser une question en français parce que...
I will ask a question in French. First, the committee hired a translator, so I think we French people, we appreciate. So I have a question for Beau and one for Tracy. Beau, if you want, please repeat the story about the creation of the app. That was created, I think, in Seattle. Was it in California? Can you tell us how it happened? How it was adopted by GSO? And Tracy, technology goes so fast nowadays. Is GSO concerned about the speed of adaptation it has to do? We don't want AI to become the Kodak of recovery, because Kodak disappeared, right? We don't want to be. So thank you very much.
That's great. Yeah, no, happy to tell a little bit more on the app. So Josh R. was kind of the main driver behind the app itself. I believe he's from the Bay Area, California, near Tim. And it really started, again, a local need and request. And knowing Josh, he probably saw a need too. And it just came from a collaboration. He's a very collaborative kind of guy. And it just started building. And then I ran into Josh at a regional forum, which I love those. I still love those. And we just started talking about it. And it really clicked an idea for me. And I brought it back to the board, not just for his app, just the concept of that, because we had been talking and wrestling with how do we reach out to the fellowship beyond, you know, in addition to the service structure. We felt like we were only able to communicate to a small group of folks that were already kind of on board, right? And we wanted a larger number to know. And Josh was sharing back with everything. And we looked at a number of apps. In fact, we actually had to get our IP person to kind of reach out to a few people and say, you really can't have an app that does this or that. But there are a lot of apps out there. And we saw that there was a desire, because you don't have so many apps with so many downloads unless the fellowships are saying, hey, we want this. And clearly the one that Josh had put together kind of through that local effort was the largest. It was definitely the furthest along, and it fit really well with what we were looking for, which is there a way we could continue delivering the kind of service we do? And that's what's so elegant about it, because it's set up where, you know, the local, you know, meetings, they can set that up on their website. If something gets changed, it can automatically get pushes. They're driving, it all consolidates. It's just super elegant. I'm still so impressed every time I think about how that came together out of the blue. So, and again, this is an AA member with a good idea, with the right background, sobered up long enough to say, hey, what if we tried this? And that's the beautiful thing in AA. We try it. And here's the thing. We may think it's all my ideas are great, right? But the great thing is AA, we vote kind of with our hands, with our feet. And if nobody else thinks it's great, they're not going to show up for it. But if they love it, it will build, it will grow, right? And that's what happened in that case. So it was almost only a matter of time. It was so obvious. It wasn't, you know, it was hard because it was new. We don't do new things in AA very well. We go into it reluctantly. We usually screw it up the first couple of passes, but fortunately we're all stubborn too. So it works out in the end. So hopefully that gives you a little bit more flavor on that conversation. But I guess one more thing, Josh was so great. I mean, he really brought it in, and he sat with us at the office and really helped get it in. And I'm certain, I mean, it's his baby. I'm certain we've turned it into something that's not quite what he had hoped or envisioned. That's just what happens, right? But I think we tried to do our best to stay true to that, and really lots of props for Josh, both in what he was able to deliver and how he was able to hand off his baby.
I'll just add to that Josh is part of the Code for Recovery team and, you know, developed the 12-step meeting list, the plugin that's in use. And now you can do it several ways. You don't have to have a WordPress plugin. You know, it's also, you can have a sheet on the back end, a UI kind of connection. And we meet monthly, and Josh is part of the team we meet with. So we're actually very, we run things by each other back and forth with the Code for Recovery team, because we really want to keep the user experience, consistent across the primary people that are using it, or the 12-step plugin people. But that just feeds into how is it being used. The people that are on the Code for Recovery, they're also web servants, so they can give us feedback on what they're seeing in their area. So Josh is actually still very helpful. We can't thank him enough for his involvement.
There's also, Lois just reminded me that there's also a little bit of a history in a past Box 459 on the app and how it went.
Cool, thank you. Amy, you have more for us?
Yeah, I'm going to pool a couple here. One was that Bo mentioned the capacity of the meeting app. Will it get too small for the increased usage from people? And a question about trademark policies on using the meeting guide icon on AA group websites. Can you answer them?
Yeah, so maybe I'll leave the icon piece to Tracy or to the office. And but I would like to follow up. I don't know if I fully understood the question about, will the app get too small for the... could you repeat that question?
It said that the capacity of the meeting app, meeting guide app, will it get too small for the increased usage of people?
Oh, I think it's pretty scalable. That's probably a better for one for you, Tracy, too. But these guys, they built it to they were expecting a party. But I'll let Tracy speak to that directly.
Yeah, it is very scalable. We did run into some interesting situations with the boom of the online meetings, where we did find, so we had at one point, basically the meeting guide list would pull the closest 500 meetings within, you know, it geolocates where you currently are or what you've entered as your search location criteria, and then would pull the first 500 meetings in and then all the organizations that are within that too. So what would happen with the online meetings in big metropolitan areas is that we were finding that some of the in-person meetings were actually getting knocked off that list. And so thankfully we were already working on how can we better represent online and in-person meetings. And we asked our development team, can we pull back 500 for online? If you switch to online, you'll get 500 online only, 500 in-person only. And that really helps it. So people who are just looking for in-person, you know, we'll recommend to them when they're in those kind of areas to just go ahead and do that. So we do appreciate two people we get. Once again, it's when feedback comes to us. You know, we've had people come in and we came with the distance and they're like, I'm not seeing meetings, even though I'm changing the distance. And we realized that that was starting to happen. And so we are able to make a change and an improvement to the app to better serve the fact that we now have a list over 140,000 meetings. We have in certain geographic, like metropolitan areas, like LA, over 2,000 meetings that could be listed, and we only bring back 500, right, within a certain radius. So yes, it is scalable, but we're constantly working on that. And it's a good problem to have a lot of people using the app. In terms of the meeting guide app, we actually have brand assets on our meeting guide, helpdocs.io, and that actually you can get to the meeting guide app if you go to online support. We have a whole site for online support and also has a section. You can definitely use the meeting guide app, but just it has to have the full like circle chair, and we have to use, you know, the name meeting guide can't be changed. So, yeah.
I'm going to combine a couple of these questions. So there's some questions about what areas, districts, intergroups can do. Maybe both of you could address exactly what AA.org did was make the websites in our local areas, because we know it's pretty easy to get a website to show up in a small geographic area for some of these keyword search terms. Maybe talk about outward facing websites, and the membership stuff can still be on there, but what the public sees when they come to the website, maybe both of you could address that.
Sure, you want to take the first whack at that, Tracy? Okay. So yeah, I think, you know, when we were looking at the new website design, we did use some statistics, right? When people come to the website, where are they going for? Overwhelmingly, the large capacity of users are members looking for at literature. And I think maybe it's changed now, but it was really, you know, whether the Daily Quote or the Big Book, you know, or the 12 and 12 or the main drivers for folks that were kind of membership. And we saw that we had different user types, and we even toyed with, do we have three websites? Maybe we have one that's for folks looking for help, and then we have another one for like members, and maybe one for service. And if you go and visit the homepage, it's kind of designed. Let's keep one, but we really opted for, let's make it about carrying the message first, you know, and kind of give folks that option if they're there, really with that in mind. And also a little bit more with the accessibility in mind. One of the things we've been looking at, and we're not as, I don't think we're exactly where, you know, where we could be in the future, but trying to even improve on low vision, right? Like when folks come, how do we make it easy? Where do we put that information? with all those thoughts in mind, right? There's guidelines for that kind of thing too. But then if you're a member and you kind of know where to look, you got it, you can get in there. But primary focus being about carrying the message and getting in contact with somebody local that can start working with you. And was that where you were going with it, Tim?
District and area websites can have an outward facing page to the public and still have all the membership stuff right there for the people who are willing to click through and look for it, right?
It's so easy for us when we get caught up in like the business of AA. It's like you almost forget, wait, why are we doing the business of AA? Oh, that's right. It's to carry the message. So let's make sure. But, you know, you're thinking about, hey, when my DCM logs in or when the GSR from that group logs in, you're not, you know, so back to why are we doing the service work anyway? My service sponsor would always remind me, if you're in a conversation in AA and you can't figure out how it's connected to carrying the message, then you might want to check in, on that conversation.
Perfect. That's exactly what I was looking for. And that was kind of one of the questions in here. I was rephrasing it to cover two of them. And there was a quick question. I'm not sure that we answered this specifically, so I'll read it. I thought part of covering meeting guide in last year's conference background wasn't clear. I hope they would share how they have updated that plan to better focus on why the MG is in the CMP. So I know we've kind of bounced around it, but I want to make sure we got that answered.
So I can just address what I've been, I actually just recently was working with somebody on the committee there to get the meeting guide area updated. What it was last year was really just, like I said, there was a lot of, well, let's just get some information from board reports. And that was what was presented. And some of it wasn't accurate by the time it got actually released. And in terms of actually what degree is it going to be covered? Are the apps in general going to be covered? Because now there's an area for the Grapevine app as it, you know, comes out. I mean, I think that it should be probably at a pretty high level, you know, in a document like this, but that's going to be something that's going to be decided by the whole trustees, you know, PI committee on this. So I think it's still a little bit TBD as to what degree we're going to cover those apps. But what I provided recently was just the strategy and tried to keep it at a level of like, you know, what is the overall goals of the meeting guide app? What are our priorities? What kind of, you know, we should be looking at strategies that help us to, you know, communicate better or that address accessibilities, but without being really specific, right? Like, I don't think that we should get really specific about what's the solution. It's more like, what's the question? So that's kind of where I kind of feedback I gave, and I don't know if that'll be like how it gets incorporated, but that's at least my opinion of the direction.
Yeah, and just to build on that further, I think, you know, the meeting guide app is actually really popular with professionals that have to work with us alcoholics. So we've been hearing about that as well in terms of just saying, here, there's a meeting, where do you live? Okay, here's a meeting right here. Why don't you head over there? You know, and you can forward it to them, you can set up on their calendar, you know, all the tricks, all the fun stuff you can do with it. But again, the idea was, have something that's useful so that AA members want it, and then hit them with a little bit of information, communication components to that. So to some degree, it is meant to be a communication device, you know, of one of those options. And so, yeah, I agree with Tracy. I think we may see apps in there more as one avenue. Again, I don't think we're looking for the perfect one solution. We're looking for a number. It's kind of surprising. I've heard and I've read, I think I read in the comments, where people were looking for help with a drinking problem and they found the app and downloaded it and hit a meeting, you know? Crazy how none of us are even thinking that could be a possibility. But this is what happens, right? When we try something new and we just try it and we see what happens, these are the kinds of things that we uncover. Nobody thought that probation officers would love the app. We were thinking of the membership, right? But it totally makes sense. So it's kind of even a CPC communication tool, right? There's no reason we couldn't say, you know, communicate CPC things out. That was my thinking when we were original vision is you could almost say, here's the kind of messages I want. I don't want to hear about any of your service stuff. I only want to hear when it was Dr. Bob's birthday or a great event. I want to hear from archives, or I'm a professional. I want to hear anytime there's an event going on or something like that, right? Like it even choose the kind of messages they want. That's like another level on the app. So, and I'm not suggesting that, putting it out there. I'm just trying to say, we were trying to think from the beginning, how could we communicate in a way that would be effective and efficient?
Yes, and in Arizona area, they have put out some apps that are public information apps and CPC apps for professionals. The app is built specifically for a professional, and that's it. And it didn't cost them a dime to do that. They did it on a free platform. So all those options are out there. I mentioned that anybody speaking Canadian, I was actually, that's an old joke. I mentioned that I have a lot of friends that speak Texan and Arkansas and Canadian. Do we have any questions in French?
No, Tim.
Thank you. And Amy, have we got anything else in your?
I do have a couple here. How has the meeting app and YouTube drawn in the international members? Has it helped or hindered our international relationships? And along those lines, is the locator app covered? Does it cover worldwide or just in our locales?
Yeah, so I can definitely speak to the Meeting Guide app. I don't really have statistics on YouTube. Meeting Guide app, primarily it's interesting because it's paid for, you know, out of GSO US Canada. That's technically, General Services members here are putting in $1 in the basket and or $2. And, you know, we get this free app, but the truth is we're actually meeting a World Services goal also of helping people and helping connect members around the world with meetings. And it is like, we have, I think about 50 countries on there right now. And we have, we're actually doing a pilot right now, even, with one entity to see about, we have three languages that it automatically, the interface is translated. So if your phone is in Spanish or French, you will get all the interface little icons and things in your native language. So we're thinking we may even, I don't even want to promise too much, but if this pilot goes well, be able to extend that a little bit, slowly. But in terms of actually connecting other countries and their meeting listings, we have lots of connectivity and we interact regularly. Our only limitation right now is in communications with any of those other entities. It has got to be in English, Spanish, or French if we're trying to help them get set up and so on right now.
I don't know on the YouTube side. I last time I remember doing a sort of a report out or a readout of it, I remember being really interested and excited that I think the top two most watched videos might be in Spanish. And I think there are some folks from the US, but also outside of the US. And I thought that was really interesting. Now, again, that's one of those things where you're carrying the message and you think you might be carrying it to this group and we're carrying it to that group.
We have another question, if I can insert here. Why is the virtual world handled differently than the physical world? GSO and AA World Services have been provided literature, guidance, statistics, you name it, for the physical world for decades with minimal concern about anonymity and overreach. It says autonomy, but I think it's anonymity. Why is that not done in the same level with the virtual world?
I mean, I guess I'd be curious where it's not. I mean, maybe it's just not as known to ask for, right? Like, I mean, we're used to seeing how many pamphlets sold, right? But I mean, Tim brought up a great question, and even being, I've known because I was on the board, right? But I've known that there are regular reports that go to the board and then go to the General Service Board about the basic stats, you know, in terms of where people go, what they click on the most, what kind of, you know, what kind of user groups we're seeing, that sort of thing. And they've been available with no concern along those lines in terms of the general stats piece. I guess, and maybe the question's coming from before when Tracy was mentioning, we don't get into necessarily, whether, you know, what your gender might be or your age group might be. I think, it, like I said, I think it might come for free on YouTube without asking for it, but we're not generally looking for it at that level. It's really more about the what's being consumed rather than the demographics of the consumer, I think, that we've been focused on. But I don't know, maybe there's something behind that question that I'm missing.
Tracy, we just have a few moments left. I we've been talking a lot about content creation, and it occurs to me that there may be from some of these questions that maybe they don't understand what we're talking about. So maybe you could just in a minute or two touch on like the different content on the different AA.org websites and how individual groups can build on that. Maybe that would help them out.
Okay, I'm trying to understand the question.
I'm trying to simplify content creation for those who might not understand what that is.
Content creation like it is in the CMP, for example?
Yeah,
okay. So the area of the CMP content creation that I'm most closely familiar with is the podcast area, but I think it also, you know, it's sort of relevant also with any other area, is that we have to align with our principles and that we are, you know, when we're communicating, there's so many things that we have to be aware of. I mean, especially with a podcast, and if it's a GSO podcast, then it's going to be, you know, we are the sort of shared experience, but we're not going to give direction. But we do have a lot of just great shared experience and things that come through the office. So how do we, you know, communicate that, but actually not in any way have it come out as if we're like sort of having a point of view, right? So at least from the office standpoint, that's what we need to do. And I would imagine how that would translate in any AA area that in any website. You would also have to kind of tread a very careful line there. You know, it's like you need to carry the AA message. And you want to give shared experience, but you don't want to come across and sort of make somebody feel unwelcome or there's like only one way to do things. So We just literally use the traditions and all the guidance and history that we have, just like anybody else would, I would think. But we have to be actually come to think of it, really, we all have to be that careful, don't we, as AA members? It doesn't matter if I'm just an individual member or I'm like, you know, setting up a website or I'm at GSO. It's like, we have to put it's principles, not personality.
Another piece of that, we're seeing it from the fellowship, you know, like Tracy's saying, where we'll see advisory actions where they're really saying, you know, we want some information, you know, let's rethink how our pamphlet for the young people, you know, but don't start with a pamphlet. Just start with the content of the information. Maybe it could be a small pamphlet, but maybe it could be a video, but let's develop that content. And then it could flow to a number of different mediums, how you read it, how you hear it. Maybe it's ASL, but let's get the content first, and then we worry later about what the channel with which we consume it is. So it can be kind of all of this.
Thank both of you very much. I want to thank everybody who helped put this thing together. I think we're supposed to leave 2 minutes for Kimberly to make some final announcements going out, but I really appreciate the 4 weeks. I've come to all four of them, and I learned a great deal myself. And I think every time we reach out and speak to each other, things get better out there in our world carrying the message and the primary purpose. So thank you again for allowing me to help host here. And Kimberly, I'm going to hand it back to you.
Thank you so much, Tim, for facilitating this evening. And thanks, Tracy and Beau, for joining us this evening and for all the great information you've shared and for answering our questions and spending your time with us. And thank you so much for all that you do for Alcoholics Anonymous as well. It was great to have you here with us. And a great thank you to our Zoom techs and our chat monitors and our interpreter, and for all of you that spent your evening with us tonight to be here and join us. Please take a moment to complete the short feedback survey that has been posted in the chat. The survey is available in English and French. I hope you have enjoyed these sessions and developed a better understanding of the comprehensive media plan and what is all involved. And it sounds like there is a lot involved. Please help me close this session with our Declaration of Unity. I'm hoping it'll be up. Oh, there it is in the chat. So even though you're all muted, you can still say it along with me. This we owe to AA's future, to place our common welfare first, to keep our fellowship united, for on AA unity depend our lives and the lives of those to come. Thank you once again, everyone, for being here. And if I can ask our chat moderator.